Hi, this is Patrick Finley at the Chicago Sun-Times. He's Mark Potash. We've been covering the Bears for, 30 years between the two of us? And today on the Halas Intrigue Agenda, Potsy, we have got Ryan Poles talking about all of the hot-button issues of training camp from Roquan Smith to Tevin Jenkins. And we've got an update about the next step in the Bears' Arlington Heights Stadium pursuit. That and more coming up on Halas Intrigue. Potsy, we had Ryan Poles talking on Thursday to the media. It may be his last media appearance, if past is any prelude with the Bears, until January. He spoke alongside Ian Cunningham for 25 minutes or so. And as expected, he got peppered with the stories that matter, or the questions that matter. Roquan Smith and his contract, Tevin Jenkins and whether he'll be traded, and Alex Leatherwood, the former first-round pick that the Bears decided to claim off of waivers. I will give you your choice of any of those three topics. What grabbed you the most? And then we'll talk some more big picture stuff.
Well, I thought the Roquan situation was interesting because it's so hard to figure out exactly what, you know, where it is. Like, Roquan has said he's not doing any more. He's not going to entertain any more offers or whatever. And, but that doesn't necessarily mean he shut out the Bears. I guess the big question with Roquan is he in his mind done with the Bears? You know, like, in other words, he'll do whatever he can to get out. Is he that dissatisfied? I just don't buy that. I don't think that's true at all. I think fences will be mended. And I think if he has a good year here in this defense, I think the Bears have every possibility of signing him to a long-term contract if they want to give him his money. So I don't think, as far as Roquan's future with the Bears, I'm not that concerned about that. So, I think Ryan Poles' his response today was he didn't want to go over all the, you know, what caused the, you know, the contract impasse in the first place. But I think he also has every intent of, if the same old thing, he's got to prove himself in this defense. And if he's good enough, I think they will, at least come to some kind of terms.
I know there's nothing in life you like better than somebody acknowledging reality, and Ryan Poles at least acknowledged the reality that he had work to do to get his relationship back on solid ground with Roquan Smith. When he was asked whether there's value to doing that, he went out of his way to say what a good player Roquan was. So, we all know that he sees a value there. Do you think this thing is reparable? Do you think some of the nice things he said about Roquan in the press conference were a step in that direction?
Oh, absolutely. But I also think, just in general, things will change if they have a good year. Like, there's a couple things that could happen. I mean, the Bears could have a good year overall. They could be a surprise team and win 9 games, you know, or whatever, maybe more. Who knows? You just don't know. But also, even if they're not great overall, the record, their defense is probably going to be pretty good. Their defense should be middle of the pack. And with Roquan, maybe 10 to 15, just like the Indy defense was 10th in Eberflus's first year there with lesser talent than he's got now. So there's going to be a good vibe. I think there's going to be a good vibe. Let's put it that way. For Roquan, I think he's going to have a good year. And I think the defense is going to do well. And I think that kind of is a healing type thing too, that you really don't know. I mean, there's not like he's got to have a meeting and they've got to hash it out. I don't think it's like that. I just think they got to let kind of a natural course go on and see what happens. But I'm not, I'm not real concerned that there's a fracture here. Let's put it that way. There might've been one at the time and there might be a slight one, but I think it will, if things go well, it will take care of itself. And if they don't, well, then the Bears probably aren't going to want him anyway. So
here's your obligatory reminder that if the Bears want to keep him beyond this year, they can do it for 2 years. They can give him the franchise tag in 2023 and the franchise tag in 2024. Now, it would be more beneficial to the Bears to work out a contract extension for cap purposes. But the fact is that Roquan is theirs for the next 3 seasons and will play at the leisure of the team. So, you've said this before that Ryan Poles was dealt a full house and was smart enough not to fold it. He will be coming at this from a position of strength, even if, as he is mending fences.
Right. That's why I say if they want to keep him, they can, but really the only thing left from my standpoint is let's just see what he does in this defense, because he should be pretty good and he could be you know, elite. He could be, he could really flourish in this defense. And then that'll be in it. That I wouldn't want to say game changer, but that would certainly, I think, switch, you know, change some people's ideas and thoughts about where he fits. It just, I just see it going. It's going in a good direction. If it ends up being good, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not like, yeah. Let's put it this way. Let's put it more clearly. It's not like Roquan can be, I don't think Roquan is going to turn into this all pro superstar, linebacker in this defense and then leave. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah. I want to touch on two offensive linemen real quick. Tevin Jenkins and Alex Leatherwood. They're kind of cousins. When you look at the situation that they've had, Leatherwood was a surprise first round pick last year. Tevin Jenkins was a second round pick. Both came with outsized expectations that they didn't live up to. Leatherwood was just bad in 17 starts with the Raiders last year and got released. Tevin Jenkins, of course, had back surgery, came back, had to sit and watch veterans play. And, you know, as recently as 2 weeks ago, was still playing tackle before the Bears moved him to guard. I think both of them are evidence that the Bears are going to keep churning this offensive line all year long until they find a combination that they think can help them in 2022 and 2023 and 2024. And I think there are worse things to do than the bet on guys with that sort of pedigree. But to me, the takeaway from polls today was that, you know, he didn't stand on the table and vehemently deny it, but he went out of his way to say, when asked about the Tevin Jenkins trade rumors, that he was really proud of Tevin with what he's done and that he's one of the best five players the Bears have. Is that a, we will not trade him declaration in your mind? Or
I wish I knew. I was trying to pin him down on that, at least just to say, should he be worried about being traded? And he, you know, if you look at what he said, mm-hmm. I don't think it was a no. It wasn't a flat out no. You know, I think he talked around it. I think he tried to give support for Jenkins, but it wasn't saying, you know, it's funny. You can technically say everybody can be traded, you know, but right. This is a special case and very few, you know, your offensive linemen are usually there for the whole season. So he could have very easily said definitively, no, he's going to be on our team, whether he starts or doesn't is questionable, but he will be on our team. And he didn't say that. So if he traded him tomorrow, despite what he said today, it would not surprise me at all based on that.
He did go out of his way to praise how far he's come. And Ian Cunningham, the assistant general manager, did that too. They went out of their way to portray him as a good story and as somebody who's come a long way in a short amount of time.
But what I'm saying is they were in a position to say, no, he's not going to be traded, and they didn't say it. So, you know, it's not like, I don't know how else to say it. In football, it's very easy to say that, you know, a guy will not be traded, you know, Justin Fields will not be traded this year. David Montgomery mm-hmm. will not. Are you going to trade David Montgomery? No, he's not going to hem and haw and tell you how great David Montgomery. No, we're not going to trade David Montgomery. So my point is he had an opportunity to say that about Tevin Jenkins and he did not. So yeah, they love him. They love him until they don't. If it just sounds like if they get the right offer, they will still trade him because they had an opportunity to say they wouldn't. And it would have been perfectly reasonable. And they did not. So,
Do you agree with that? Do you think it's appropriate for them to? I mean, he can't be an untouchable guy yet, right? He hasn't shown anything,
right? I guess he hasn't, but I mean, in general, I don't know, just guys aren't traded in the NFL very often, so it's a big deal, when you are. But I guess my point is. If he's good enough for somebody else's team, he should be good enough for this team. They're not exactly, you know, well stocked at that position. And so I don't know, maybe Alex Leatherwood ends up, you know, playing that position. You know, they were both, you talk about the similarities. They were both kind of guys who were, I think, played tackle, but were considered possibly better guards in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And just the only difference is that the Bears didn't bite on Tevin Jenkins at 20 last year and waited 17, until 39. 17. Yeah. And the Raiders did. And the Raiders did bite too early. Right. And that otherwise, you're right. They are not the same player, but they're very similar players. And so maybe I have no idea, but I don't know. The Tevin Jenkins thing confuses me a little bit because the Bears are just not very solid at that position. And so, like I said, if somebody else thinks he's good enough for them, I would think that, he's good enough for the Bears, but maybe not. They have their own idea of what players are. I think that's what this whole season is all about, is to see how, you know, how on offense and defense, if this, you know, putting the guy in the right position to succeed, which every team says they do, but for some reason on both sides of the ball, that seems like it's a, just a huge magnified effect. And so that's what this season is all about. So I don't know what's going to happen to Tevin Jenkins, but I was thinking that he was going to be here, but now it wouldn't surprise me if tomorrow they said he's traded for, you know, a fifth round draft pick.
I'm intrigued by Alex Leatherwood for no other reason, but that he's got all the resume you'd ever want until he was drafted. He was the number four prospect in America as a high school kid, goes to Alabama, plays 40 some odd snaps in the national title game as a freshman because somebody got hurt. He then starts the next 3 years for them. This is, you know, if not a first round pick, because he was a surprise first round pick by Mike Mayock, but he is a compelling resume, I think. And for you to get him at, for the cost of just money and not anything real in terms of prospects or future picks or anything like that. I don't know that he has a chance to be great, but I think that's the kind of person I would bet on if I were the Bears in a rebuilding season.
Yeah. And we've seen it before in the NFL. It happens, I think, a lot where guys, don't do well in what for one team and then excel for another. A lot of it's coaching, and just, you know, fit, you know, it's so inexact, so abstract that, especially in the offensive line, that it wouldn't surprise me if he were a hit. And I think the point is, I think others have made it, it's definitely a risk, a chance worth taking. I mean, it's a flyer. I mean, I don't want to say a no brainer, but you know, they could have waited for him to clear waivers, but I think it was probably smart in their situation. I think that's a chance definitely worth taking, because you never know. And they definitely need the help. And he's a young guy who, like you said, has a ton of talent. So, not defined also as a bust just because you don't make it with the Raiders, just like guys that don't make it with the Bears. You can't say the same thing in the past. Anyway, so we'll see, but it comes down to coaching and we'll see what happens. But I think that was a good pickup.
The other thing I find interesting about the Bears and the waiver wire is that while players are going to sign via free agency with the team that has the best opportunity for them, I don't think the Bears are going to win many tiebreakers around the league. Given that they're supposed to be one of the worst teams in the NFL, with waivers, a player doesn't have an option. He's coming here. And by claiming those guys, I think the Bears avoid a bidding war or at least a popularity contest. And I think they might've lost both. Potsy, I want to ask you real quick before we get to the stadium issue about kind of the big picture idea that you floated to Ryan Poles today, which is, you know, why does he think that he provided Justin Fields with enough to be successful, or at least enough to be evaluated this season? He defended it. I know that this is the big question I have with the Bears and have had since March, and I know that you have it too. How does Ryan Poles explain what he's done and not done with their roster?
Well, I think it goes back to like in the draft, when you say we'll pick the best player available, I think that was those draft picks exactly explained where Ryan Poles' head is in regard to this entire.
Careful with the Ryan Pace. Careful.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Where Ryan Poles' head is as far as this entire rebuild, because he had he had a huge need on offense. You could say wide receiver, offensive line, whatever, and he went defense. Almost kind of it was against convention, and he's an offensive guy too. But just by doing that in itself, I think that tells you that he's his biggest concern is the overall team. And where it becomes a problem is that if there's ever a year where you should not do that, it's when you have a second year quarterback who is in a career defining year and needs all the help he can get. This would be the one time, just, you know, there are different levels of best player available. This would have been one of the years where you can get away with him saying, hey, we needed the help, right?
Nobody's going to sit there and be like, whoa. Yeah. Nobody's going to sit there and say, whoa, this wide receiver you had 10 spots down on your big board from the guy you picked. And nobody's going to hold that against them.
Right. So I guess that's really the question. That's what this season is all about is that risk that he's taking of trying to develop a quarterback in a critical year with the supporting cast he has, because this is supposed to be a defining year for Fields. But how can you say that if like I think I put it to Poles, Ryan Poles, like if he fails, if he does not develop, they'll just say, well, you set him up to fail. No surprise. Right. It'll be more on Poles than it will be on Fields if he doesn't succeed. So that's the issue. And I get what they're, I remember asking Getsy about the wide receiver thing. Cause people say, well, you have no wide receivers. And they feel like their scheme, their system will get the most out of everybody. And also they do have players who can be better than people think, like in the right offense, like Cole Kmet and David Montgomery and Darnell Mooney and stuff like that. So, but they're basically saying that, they think what they have is better than what will be better than what people think. That's the only way to explain it. I just gave them credit for just not being obstinate about it, right, and not being defensive and kind of, he didn't do it like he has all the answers, like he knows is going to work. I think he's hoping this will work and he's going to find out. I just think it's kind of a risky thing at this early stage.
He even said out loud, like, hey, I'm not going to sign a name just to say I signed a name.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's his philosophy. But I just think like I said, my story, I wrote a story today about that for tomorrow's paper. I said, it's too early to say this is his Trubisky moment, but it's a similar risk, not giving a franchise quarterback like that the support he needs to develop. It's a calculated risk on his part, but it is a risk doing that, because it affects, if he, a year from now, if he's looking for a new quarterback, he'll still be the GM of the Bears, but with one knock against him that he doesn't really need. Sure. So it's not a free roll for him, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And basically this year is a free roll with that exception. I mean, I said, I've always said that. I've said this in the beginning. I believe it. The clock starts on him in 2023 with the exception of the quarterback. If they're looking for a new quarterback next year, then it's a knock against him.
And in 2023, the Bears not only have the most salary cap space in football, they have almost twice as much as the next closest team as we sit here right now. I believe that's the New York Giants, who are at $55 million. I think the Bears are at like 107, something like that. Potsy, before we get out, the Bears said today that they were going to have a meeting in Arlington Heights next week in which they were going to unveil informally some drafts and plans for the Arlington Heights racetrack site that the Bears are in the process of buying. They talked about it being a hub for transportation, mixed use facility. I'm sure there will be a hotel and there'll be a stadium there. This is just the next step in something that I think you and I have in the last year come to believe pretty positively that it is going to happen, which is the team's going to move to Arlington Heights.
Yeah, and it'll be a good thing. It'll be a good thing for the Bears, and I think it is going to come to fruition. I think
Is it going to be a good thing for the place in which you live, Arlington Heights?
I don't know about that. That I probably have more concern than anything, to tell you the truth. But I don't know. We'll have to. There's a lot more to happen before we know that. But I know. I think it's going to happen. I just don't think the city could give them what they wanted. If it was a matter of just building a stadium, that's a little bit different. But today, in this day and age, it's more than that. When you see the plans that they have for this whole facility, you'll see that it's not just a stadium. And so I think this is going to end up being the right move for the Bears. But it's still 4 or 5 years at least in the future. They've still got some time at Soldier Field, but I'm not lamenting it like I would have like 5 years ago or something like that. Right. To me, it's clear now that the Soldier Field's just not a great place for them anymore. And times have changed and they need to get with the 21st century. And this is the way to do it.
It has the best view in the NFL until you actually look into the stadium, and then it might have one of the worst. Yeah, it'll be interesting. The Bears are closing escrow on the purchase at some point, around the end of the year or early next year. So, you know, they can plan and they can, you know, sketch out rough drafts, but there's really nothing they can do until all of that goes through and they have exhausted, I presume, every last pitch from the city, just in case the city gives them what they want. I don't think that's going to happen, and neither do you.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's almost not physically possible for them to physically, I mean, land-wise, to give them what they want. And there's going to, and then also there's going to be too much blowback for people who don't want to foot the bill. Whatever it's going to be for a stadium in the city. So I just feel like, you know, hey, this is a really tough thing for me to say. I'm a Chicago guy, and I love the fact that the teams are in Chicago, but times have changed, and the best thing for them is to go out and kind of spread out a little bit. The only question is just how good, what they'll do with it. You just never know what they'll come up with, but this is new territory for the Bears. This is nothing like the expansion of Hallis Hall. This is an entirely different animal, you know? Sure. But they were confined there too. So now they have a lot more space. So it'll be interesting to see what they come up with. But what I'm saying overall, I think it's going to be really good. It's going to be a modern stadium the whole facility. I think it's going to be a really cool thing and good for the Bears. The product is obviously the key thing, I don't think it has anything to do with it. But with the stadium, but I just think it'll be a good thing for Bears fans once they get over the Bears. I don't think too many people have to get over the Bears not being in Soldier Field, probably just me and a couple others. But
and it'll give fans something to talk about in the fourth quarter of blowout losses this season too, because I think we're probably in line for a couple of those. He is Mark Potash. I'm Patrick Finley. Thank you again for listening. As always, check us out on the Sun-Times website. Download the Sun-Times app on your phone. It's the best thing that we do, I think. You can pick up a newspaper as well. And please like, rate, and review the podcast. Potsy, we will be back next week when we have a real game to talk about and real season predictions to make and game picks and all that sort of good stuff. But until then, thank you so much for listening. We will be back real soon.